everyone here today as we get close to the holidays. And I wanted to share with you back when Jen was pregnant and we were expecting our son. We did the thing that I guess a lot of young folks do, which is we had an app on our phone that told us how to track the progress of our son as he developed from like week 1 to week 40. Every week we got a little update on how he was doing in there, so to speak. And it was really funny. It would tell us like what his size was, but they were all totally wrong, because when he came out he was 9 pounds 14 ounces. He was gigantic, literally twice the size I was when I was born. C-section, no worries. The app all along the way would tell us, okay, this week your child is the size of a grape. Okay, that's good to know. The next week, okay, this time your son's the size of a walnut. Oh, great. All right. Then we keep going, and this week he's the size of a pool ball, and then it seemed like a month later he was the size of a pineapple. And as silly as that was, the funny thing was, we really enjoyed it. 40 weeks of waiting for this child to be born, and tracking along in this app just how he was doing and developing and everything along the way, we enjoyed it so much. It was, even though we were waiting for so long, even though our child, our hope was so small and not yet even really all that real to us, it was still so joyous, just waiting. So this series, we're titling it Joy to the World, to talk about how in the world we regain a sense of joy during this Christmas season. And last week we got into going through times of storms in our lives that really bear down on us. And we talked about the story of Jesus falling asleep in the boat and how Christmas is this declaration that God is in the boat with us, which allows us to have peace, which allows us to depend on our faith in Him, and in that peace to find joy again, even in a storm. And this week, we continue on in this theme, but instead of talking just simply about peace, we're going to move on to a new one, and that is hope. Because one of the qualities of having joy in our life is holding on to a modicum of hope, no matter what else is going on. To believe that this is not where it ends, but that it continues on and that God is in control and that we can have hope. Because Christmas is a declaration of hope being born. And specifically, hope being born small. And this is necessary for us to have joy, which is long-lasting, deep-seated, as opposed to the temporary happiness, feeling of happiness that we sometimes gain and lose from time to time. So this week is about hope. If we are to find hope in hard times, if we are to find joy in hard times, it requires us to have hope. So, let's consider the nation of Israel itself. And you think about Israel, and Israel, if you haven't ever really thought about this or looked at the geography, Israel is a piece of land about the size of the state of New Jersey. It's not terribly large. It's tucked in on the southeast corner of the Mediterranean Sea, and all around it is surrounded by some of history's most gigantic empires. And if you've ever thought about it, you have Egypt, very close. You have Babylon, huge empire. You have Assyria, huge empire. You have Alexander the Great in the resurgence of the Greek Empire that took over all the known world from the time. The Persians took over all the known world from the time. The Romans took over all the known world. All of them based right around that part of the Mediterranean. And so Israel, being this tiny little parcel of land the size of New Jersey, was always surrounded by huge Goliaths. And through much of its history, it battled being oppressed by others. It got taken into exile. It lived without its freedoms. The people of Israel became known as these suffering people. And the fact that they still survived all of that is a miracle in and of itself. By the time Jesus was born, Israel hadn't controlled its own destiny or its own land for the majority of the last 200 or 300 years. And it was thought that God had been silent. Israel was small among the giants, broken and poor, but the entire time they always clung to the concept of hope. That there was something greater coming, which for Israel was found in the prophetic concept of the Messiah. Now, if that's new for you at all, don't worry. I'll try to explain it briefly. But the Messiah is a Hebrew word that it means the same thing as the Greek word Christ, Messiah and Christ. And they both mean the Anointed One. And specifically, they reference a king, because kings were anointed by the prophets, so the Anointed One is a king to come. And specifically, it's a prophesied king to come. One who was supposed to change the fortunes of Israel itself. One who was supposed to turn things around, to enact God's coming into the world, into a new kingdom, to reverse their fortunes, restore Israel, sit on David's throne, and create a whole new age. The Messianic Age. Israel had big expectations. Their hopes were not small. And by the time Jesus comes along, there is a frenzy of searching for the Messiah and for hope, because there was an abundance of hurt in the world. And the more hurt in the world, the more you cling to hope. And those expectations of hope were gigantic. And what blows me away about Christmas is how God sort of undermined all the expectations and how He reminded them that hope would actually be small. If you will, picture that night, right? And you know the story of the shepherds in the field? And all of a sudden they look up and the night of Christmas, and an angel rips through the sky and appears in all this majestic glory. And they're suddenly really, really frightened and afraid because, my goodness, look at what's in front of them, right? This angel. I'm guessing you would be afraid too. And they're blown away. But then suddenly their fear turns to hope as this angel starts to talk to them about how God is finally acting in the world and acting on Israel's behalf. And their hope is finally coming to happen. And so we pick up in Luke chapter 2. One of the classic narratives of Christ's birth. And if you've got your Bibles, I'd love for you to follow along in Luke chapter 2, and we'll begin in verse 8. So here's the story with the shepherds, right? And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great," what? "Joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you." Pause. Okay, great. An angel has appeared. I mean, that was pretty dramatic. And now there's going to be a sign. And I wonder what they were thinking. Okay, what is the sign going to be? I mean, this is going to be incredible, right? Maybe a blazing fireball coming down from heaven onto earth. That would be pretty neat. Or maybe the sign will be, a big strike of lightning. Or maybe the angel will just wipe a sword over the earth and wipe out all the Romans. Maybe they'll see the Messiah Himself and He'll be sort of majestic and glorified and riding a white stallion. I don't know why, but maybe. Right? There'd be a sign that God was acting. And then we go back and we read it. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. A baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a feeding trough? Are you kidding me? That's like finding out that your son is the size of an acorn. It's nice, but it doesn't really totally fulfill what they were expecting. You see, God constantly does this. Christmas is this reminder that hope is born in the small things. And sometimes you have to wait on it a while. Hope doesn't come in like a big asteroid in the sky ripping the world apart. Hope comes in the small things, and it's even difficult to notice sometimes. How much of the world missed the birth of the Savior and failed to even notice it happened? You see, God has always seemed to present hope in this manner. Abraham and Sarah were elderly and still waiting for a child. Zechariah and Elizabeth, that's the parents of John the Baptist, were in a similar situation. Or how about announcing the birth of the Savior first to a group of shepherds, themselves lowly and regular and ordinary, or announcing the resurrection first to a group of women? How about choosing a young girl that no one would believe to be the mother of our Savior and a carpenter to be the earthly father? Or for that matter, how about choosing Israel itself over all the other great empires around them to be the people of God? Has not God always worked in the small? Hasn't hope always been born in the unexpected? Is not joy found in the little things? Sometimes hope requires us to wait a while and to slow down and to notice the small. You see, finding joy in this season is about looking around at the small things to be joyful about. It's about slowing down and thinking of what tiny bit of hope today might become a great victory down the road. It means learning to enjoy and celebrate and wait for the tiny wins and the tiny victories. In times of hardship, this is the only way to keep our joy, by rediscovering hope in the smallest blessings day to day. That is partly what the season of Christmas is about. Waiting. And finding joy in the waiting. And in the smallness of it. Because God has always preferred to work that way. You see, it may be hard to do. But, if you're talking to yourself in the evening and you're thinking, this was a difficult day, or all these things happened, or you're struggling to find joy, maybe stop and ask yourself and put in a contrast to that, right? Something small, something you hadn't noticed, something you could have looked over if you hadn't slowed down just a little bit. It was difficult, but today was a little better. Or it was difficult, but today I survived a test. But today I learned a new skill. Or today I opened a new door. Or last night I slept well. Or I ate better. Or I acted more kindly than I had before. It's the little things to celebrate. Today I treasured my hope that one day God will intervene. In fact, I already know that He is intervening already. It's just so easy to not notice. That something small will turn into something great. And that little thing we barely even notice today becomes a great thing God works with tomorrow. I think maybe in the weeks leading up to Christmas, we need to reteach ourselves how to wait. How many of you have trouble waiting? Oh, two of you are honest. Okay. I struggle to wait. We've gotten really bad at this as a society, myself included. Traffic lights feel like years. Am I right? Like, why doesn't it turn green already, you know? TV shows that last 45 minutes are way too long. They should have cut out the commercials, you know? I can't even bother to stay on the same radio station when the commercials come in because there's 1,000 other stations to go to. I cannot wait. If I'm 5 minutes late learning of the greatest news, I missed everything. Our phones have made it that everything is so instantaneous that the very idea of waiting on the small is almost foreign to us. So why do you think when we come to Christmas it should be any different? We come to Christmas and we still want the instantaneous, and we want it to happen. We like having it instantly and not waiting and not looking for the small, but waiting for God to break in big ways. And by the way, did you ever notice that when God surprised Israel and when that sign to them was just a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a feeding trough, that not only was that the surprise, but for the rest of Jesus' life, they were surprised. They kept waiting for that big moment for God to rip the sky apart and wipe out the Romans with a sword. They kept waiting for Jesus to sit on this big throne. Their hopes were so big and they were looking for it in big things. And the entire time Jesus did ministry, they were all off track. Jesus tries to tell them, my kingdom is a spiritual one, and I'm leading a spiritual revolution, and there are people who need to come to God, and I'm telling you, it's not what you think, but He is the Messiah. And they never get it, right up until the point that the disciples look at Him ascend into heaven, and right before He does, they say, okay, are you going to do it now? Sometimes, when we're looking for hope, we have to slow down and look for the small things, or else we could miss Jesus Himself. That's the problem with rushing through life and looking for the big things and waiting for God to rip the sky open. Because if Christmas means anything, it's that hope is born small. Probably smaller than Megan was born, I'm guessing. Hope was born small. See, Jen and I figured out, or just because of the nature of things, were able to learn to enjoy waiting for our baby to be born. Why can't we enjoy waiting for God's? And why can't we enjoy waiting for the next movement of God in our lives? And why can't we enjoy waiting for the next stage to come? And why can't we look around at the small things He's doing now and know that He is active and present and working and loving and relational in our lives? And so this week, my hope for you is that you would simply take the time to celebrate something small. That at the end of your day or the end of your week, sit down and list the small things that have happened that could turn into big things down the road. Meditate on hope and ask yourself whether or not you lost it somewhere in this crazy year. And claim it back. Because hope is necessary for joy. And if we are to proclaim joy to the world, we're going to have to see hope again. This is a little bit out of nowhere analogy, but I think you'll get where I'm going. The author Dante from the Middle Ages wrote in Italian, and he wrote this long epic called Dante's Inferno, and in it he gives this very intricate description of hell. It is frightening, to say the least. But as he describes the entrance to hell, on the gate of the entrance are the words that translate roughly into "Abandon hope, all ye who enter here." Abandon hope, all ye who enter here. That quote has been used a few more times in history, not in pleasant ways either. But it reminds me that the only place there really truly is no hope is hell. Which reminds me that as long as we aren't there yet, hope lives. And to avoid ending up there, we need to find hope again. Because you see, we are not in a place where hope is gone. Hope is always present. Hope is always there. And so, because of that, we are 1,000 miles from any place without hope. Hope is the only plea that we can have. The only thing we can reclaim and say, this is ours because we have put our trust in Christ. Because we believe that God never gives up. We believe that God always works in the small. We believe that God is breaking into this world through the kingdom of God and through our lives to make a difference. And we believe that one day Christ will return and culminate all of it. And so hope is never lost. And everywhere that we spread the seed of hope, we create little pieces of the kingdom of God, and we produce fruit, and we help others grow in their faith and find joy again. You see, God sent this tiny acorn of a man, but through that man, he went on to change the world. History is literally divided at his birth. The Savior of God came as a baby. He thought for some reason all that messiness and all that the labor and the blood and the diapers and the getting him grown up, all that was somehow worth it to him for us. For some reason he thought there was something meaningful in the suffering and in the waiting. And it took a long time for that baby to turn into the man that saved the world. But that waiting was necessary. At least it seems so by God's teaching. That is why hope is never lost. That is why waiting is so important. That is why hope gives us a reason to believe in tomorrow. And that is why we can proclaim joy to the world now. Christmas is the declaration that hope was born small. So look for the small. And understand, God is working even in your waiting. Joy to the world. Our Savior is born. God in heaven, I thank you for a chance today to look at your scriptures and the story of Israel and the story of Christmas and to understand how important waiting was. It's not something we're used to. And honestly, God, I'm really bad at it. And I just ask that you will just give me more calm, more ability to slow down and notice the little ways you are acting and involved in my life. And I pray that everyone here can slow down this week and recognize the slow but amazing ways you are working. Because sometimes the sign of your activity is not a fireball in the sky, for the simple act of waiting on a babe. God, we love you and thank you for taking the time to work in these small ways. And I pray that we will take the time to appreciate it. So God, help us to wait on the birth of your Son and to wait on the next stage of you working in our lives. And help us to even enjoy that period. Because hope allows us to continue in it. And if we are going to find joy, we will have to find hope again. We thank you and love you. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.